Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is JNYGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. As of today, July 2, 2025, Frontenac Park will be temporarily closed for the expansion of day services at the Adelaide Street Shelter at 38 County Street. The Adelaide Street Shelter is currently in the process of winding down, with closure expected in early 2026. The city has chosen to lease the neighboring park to the shelter's day service provider, Lionhearts, for at least the next 6 months, or until the wind-down process is complete. During this period, the park will be closed to the public, and people not participating in day services will be restricted from entering or using the park. The idea was raised by community members in an Adelaide Near Neighbor workshop held on June 11th. According to the release from the city, it was also requested by shelter users and operators. Recognizing that disruptions in the neighborhood are destabilizing to those who live near the shelter, those who work at the shelter, and those seeking support. Jane Hartley, Director of Housing and Social Services with the city, spoke with CFRC about where the idea originated.
We actually brought kind of neighbors together and did some table activities on, you know, what are the current issues, how can the city support, and action items came out of that. And then also, what's the future once emergency shelter services wind down? What would the community like to see? There was some members of the community that had suggested, you know, that services could be provided there for the individuals that were there. They raised that idea of closing and fencing it to enable them to do that. So it was really an opportunity where kind of both the community, some members of the community and the operator brought that forward. And the city thought, you know, it's a great idea and it's an opportunity to really just to help move people forward and, you know, help them reach their goals, not just in accessing support services inside, like, you know, support with identification, addiction, mental health referrals, those, you know, housing, obviously, housing search, but just some of those wellness things that really kind of help us with our mental health and keep us connected.
This change will allow Lionhearts to offer expanded programming during the day, such as gardening, educational programs, and outdoor health and wellness activities.
This was an opportunity really to expand those services into the outdoors, which is just wonderful for the people that are accessing the service there. Really just wellness activities, you know, some gardening, fitness, like they're really looking, have some, and looking at what's the art of the possible for supporting people. And it's really, you know, to make that site and to allow them to expand into that space safely. There was a need, that's the need, is that we have to ensure that moving forward, that access to that site is secure and remains safe. And that will be an opportunity for those that are actually seeking shelter service and day service. It'll be available to them. And there won't be any, you know, disruption, concern, or, you know, issues with trying to use the space safely.
The release from the city announcing the closure also notes that people may choose to shelter overnight in other municipal parks and that the emergency shelter system continues to have capacity. The city will be continuing to provide support at the Adelaide Shelter and other locations across the city during this transition period, according to the release. The city will also be continuing community engagement efforts as they plan for the future of shelter services in Kingston.
It's at least 6 months, so we're until the wind down of the services. However, afterwards, that's really up to the community. And that's what I think is part of the engagement with the community and the city. That's part of this planning process is, you know, what would the community like to see and then what's possible for the space.
As construction continues on the new Kintege Language and Cultural Center in Tintinega, it has been announced that the center has received a $486,600 GROW grant, provided by the provincial government's Ontario Trillium Foundation to be used for the restoration of nature surrounding the center. TTO is an organization that has developed and delivered Mohawk language programs for two decades. TTO is currently in the process of building their new language and cultural center to house and expand their programming, set to open by fall 2025. Over the next 3 years, the GROW grant will be used for the restoration and conservation of 2 acres of forest, wetlands, and meadows surrounding the site. TTO has partnered with Wintergreen Studios for the project, an environmental center located in South Frontenac that works to preserve natural ecosystems and assists other organizations with conservation and sustainability projects. Dr. Rena Upitis, founding director of Wintergreen Studios, shared how the collaboration between TTO and Wintergreen Studios began and led to the project being funded by the GROW Grant.
So our association with TTO started several years ago when the school at Tiantemega brought some of their students to Wintergreen for a spring land art BioBlitz event. And they've been coming ever since, and I've come to know Callie Hill, who's the Chief Executive Officer at TTO, quite well. And this fall, we decided that the two of us would sit down and write a grant proposal to the Ontario Trillium Foundation. We were absolutely delighted that the Ontario government was funding something that had to do with land restoration, and thrilled to have a formal way of deepening our partnership with TTO.
Upitis notes that restoration will be a major undertaking given the current state of the land.
The state of the land now is, I would say, damaged by human use and even abuse over the last long while. Before the building began, it was the Shannonville Fairgrounds, and having a fairground and a fairground with animals is not great for natural landscapes. So the way that the land is right now is it's a giant construction site with lots of sand and gravel and quite a few noxious invasive species that tend to pop up on in construction sites. So there's poison parsnip, there are thistles, buckthorn, things that are not conducive to a really diverse and beautiful learning environment. So the land right now, it's not pretty, but once upon a time, it was a place that housed, for example, a lot of milkweed. It was the home to probably most of the monarch butterfly species in the area. So one of the things that we're doing is looking to what used to be there and conserving and regenerating that land so that those kinds of species can thrive again.
The Wintergreen team is already at work, breaking ground just after their launch last week, carefully mapping the current landscape and strategically determining how to restore balance.
We have a number of people who are well-versed in plant life, particularly local and native species and near native species. And we have already started to do a very intense inventory of the plants that are there. Our goal is to ensure that there's a invisible boundary between the existing ecology and what we help with in terms of restoration, so that the whole thing becomes seamless.
The restoration will be led by Indigenous ecological knowledge, emphasizing native plants' traditional uses and learning with the land.
And the emphasis, as I said, is on local plants. We're also going to be helping with traditional gardens, medicine gardens, greenhouse, any way we can really to restore the land to what it would have been had a building not popped up in the middle of it. It's a delicate kind of massaging of what's there and what could be introduced so that over time the land takes care of itself.
TTO and Wintergreen are already considering ways the land can be integrated into learning at the center.
One of the things we're looking at planting is nut trees, and nut trees that are natural to that area. So that brings into possibility planting, harvesting, preserving, eating all kinds of foods that a food forest can produce. So there's many connections with the work that the center will do with the land itself.
These efforts will take time, far longer than the 3-year grant period. But both organizations are looking forward to the journey ahead.
Well, restoration work takes a long time. We will have, if you'll excuse the pun, the seeds of the project in place at the end of 3 years. But it'll take 20 or 30 years for the landscape to do its own work. And in terms of when we start to see things immediately, we've received the go-ahead. We've had our official launch, and the day of the launch, we had people from Wintergreen out on the land doing surveys and having conversations and discussions about what to plant this summer and what to plant this coming fall.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is Jesse Bell with a local sports report for the Kingston region. The OSFL regular season came to a close on Sunday, so let's do a quick recap of the three seasons for the Kingston Grenadiers. The U14 Grenadiers had a great learning season, but that doesn't necessarily translate to a lot of regular season success. They dropped their opening contest on May 10th, 36-0, before getting a huge win in their follow-up against the Oshawa Hawkeyes, 42-0. They dropped close games to the Ottawa Myers Riders and the Peel Panthers, before closing out their season with back-to-back losses against the North Halton Crimson Tide and the Durham Dolphins. Though not a great statistical season for the Grenadiers, the U14 squad is a new one in the grand scheme of things, and certainly learned a great deal about the level of competition seen in OSFL football. The U16 Grenadiers are a great deal more established, with the modern iteration of this U16 squad dating back to the 2009 season, so over the course of 16 years, they've got a lot more experience under their belt, and that showed in the 2025 season. They had a season-opening loss, 22-0, to the Cumberland Panthers, before rolling off multiple wins in a row, five straight, in fact, with victories over Oshawa, Ottawa Myers Riders, the Peel Panthers, the Brampton Bulldogs, before dropping a game to the Durham Dolphins. But they did close out their season with a victory over the Vaughan Rebels, and now await their playoff matchup. No matter how the U16 season ends, it was a great one for the team. A lot of regular season success as they look forward to a playoff date and the potential to make a long run in the OSFL playoffs. We save the best for last as the U18 Grenadiers have had a season to remember, running the table, a perfect regular season with major victories over the Cumberland Panthers, the Brampton Bulldogs, and the Durham Dolphins. They will be the number one seed heading into the OSFL playoffs, and they look primed for a big run to perhaps the first championship in team history. And that is your local sports recap, putting a spotlight on the OSFL and the Kingston Grenadiers. This is Jesse Bell signing off from the CFRC Sports Desk. This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, July 2nd, a bit more rain in the forecast. Daytime high of 23, feeling closer to 25, so a little cooler than days past, and a 60% chance of precipitation. Thursday, July 3rd, daytime high of 23 degrees, feeling closer to 25, with a 63% chance of rain throughout the day, dropping down to 13 overnight. Friday, July 4th, daytime high of 22, and it's going to feel like 23, so a lovely day here in the city of Kingston, mostly sunny conditions with a few clouds sprinkled throughout. Moving into the weekend, Saturday, July 5th, daytime high of 24 with mostly sunny conditions. High UV index, though, projected to be 10, so get that sunscreen on, folks. Sunday, July 6th, the sun gives way to rain. 55% chance of precipitation in the region. Daytime high of 24. Will be quite humid, feeling closer to 28. And then the start of next week, Monday, July 7th, we're going to see a daytime high of 24 with a 55% chance of precipitation. Here is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. The LaSalle Causeway will be closed on the following dates: July 1st, 6th, 13th, 20th, and 27th, August 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st, and September 7th. All of these days, it will be closed from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Shifting now to the fall, some select locations when the LaSalle Causeway will also be closed from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. September 21st, October 5th, 14th, and 19th, and November 2nd and 16th. Here are your road closures for the week. Albert Street Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Aberdeen Street William II Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Berry Street Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Barrack Street, Bagot to Rideau is closed June 30th, July 2nd, and 3rd from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day to accommodate road repair and resurfacing work. Cassidy Street, Montreal to Maple is closed until July 4th as part of the ongoing intersection improvements of Montreal and John Counter. Carlton Street, Alfred to Guy is closed June 30th to August 8th for a gas main installation. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Guy Street, Carlton to Division is also closed June 30th to August 8th for gas main installation. King Street, Brock to Clarence is closed July 1st from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the City of Kingston Canada Day event. Market Street, King to Ontario is closed June 30th at 8 a.m. to July 2nd at 12 p.m. for the City of Kingston Canada Day event. Ontario Street, Brock to Clarence is closed July 1st from 8 a.m. to 11:59 p.m. for the City of Kingston Canada Day event. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. And Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett is also closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Accommodation Road, 6th concession to White Church, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Abbeydon Road, Middle to Highway 2, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Catterockway Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Collins Bay Road, Woodbine to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes landscaping work on Collins Bay Road. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic is down to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Garrett Road, 6th concession to Sandhill, expect delays while a contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Highway 2 to Abbeydon and St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes the site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road. And White Church Road, 6th concession to Woodburn, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract.
Now coming up, we'll have a look at some great community events running in Kingston and the area this week. On Wednesday, Games in the Square returns to Springer Market Square from 6 to 8 p.m. Drop in for a fun evening of giant board games like Connect Four, Chess, and Snakes and Ladders. It's free, open to all ages, and a great way to enjoy a midweek summer night downtown. On Thursday, Stories in the Square starts at 10:30 a.m. at the City Hall Amphitheater. This free drop-in story time is hosted by the Kingston Frontenac Public Library and is perfect for kids of all ages. If the weather's bad, it will move indoors to the Central Branch. In the evening, Life Drawing is on at Art Noise from 6 to 8 p.m. Doors open at 5:30, and it's just $10 to drop in and practice figure drawing in a welcoming space. Then head to Springer Market Square for Movies in the Square. This week's feature is Legally Blonde, with pre-movie fun including a glitter bar and nail stickers from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The movie starts at dusk, so bring your own lawn chair and enjoy a night under the stars. On Friday, folks can head back to Springer Market Square from 6 to 7 p.m. for free line and square dancing lessons. Whether you're new or experienced, it's a great way to kick off your Friday night in the square before the live country music begins. On Saturday, it's time for the Bloomin' Berries Strawberry Social at the Spire from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enjoy strawberry shortcake, garden games, crafts, live music, and a strawberry hat parade. All in support of the Bloom Skills Center. Admission is $15 and includes dessert, drinks, and activities. And finally on Sunday, start your day off with yoga in the park at Battery Park from 10 to 11 a.m. This free outdoor session is led by local instructors and you just need to bring a mat. In the afternoon, Baha'i Fireside Sunday happens at 2 p.m. in the lower hall at the Spire. It's an open, informal discussion about unity and peace, hosted by the Baha'i community of Kingston. Refreshments are served and all are welcome. Have a local event that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via CFRC.ca. Hey folks, I'm Ellie Sturton, and coming up are your live music events happening around town this week. On Wednesday, pop by the Mansion for surf rock and rockabilly with the Surfer Jets and Bloodshot Bill, starting at 7 p.m. for just $25. Or catch Swingin' Summer in Springer Market Square with the Frontenac Community Band from 7 to 8 p.m. On Thursday, the Holly Road Country Jamboree kicks off in Corbyville at 7 p.m. See a stacked lineup of Canadian country talent. Tickets start at $44.25 and fundraise for Camp Trillium. You can hear pianist Agne Radzevichite and Dmitry Lekovich perform classical selections at St. Paul's Church at 3:15 p.m. Tickets are $45 for adults and $22.50 for youth. Or dance the night away at Musiki Cafe's vinyl DJ party from 8 to 11. Entry is by donation. On Friday, catch day 2 of the Holly Road Country Jamboree in Corbyville. You'll see Aaron Goodwin, Rudy Gunn, and more. Or head to Hotel Wolf Island for day 1 of the Analog Island Festival, a night of experimental music, live bands, and vinyl DJ sets. Day passes for that one are $30. The Mansion hosts Metal Night with Doom Boys, The Pale Horse Ritual, Arachnia, and more. Doors open at 8 p.m. and tickets are $11.98. Now, if country's more your thing, Ambush plays a free outdoor set at Springer Market Square from 7 to 8. And later that night, at The Merchant, Squid Pistol hits the stage with high-energy alternative rock covers from 10:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. On Saturday, start with Saturday Sessions, live music in Confederation Park from 11:30 to 3:30. This week features Django's Kitchen, Oscar Bossax, and Mauricio and the Latin Beat Band. Or, over at Base 31's Drill Hall, Montreal Dream Pop Legends stars hit the stage with Ruby Waters at 7:30 p.m. Tickets start at $55. And the Holly Road Country Jamboree continues in Corbyville with a stacked Day 3 lineup including George Canyon, Mackenzie Leigh Meyer, Fiddlesticks, and more. And at Hotel Wolf Island, the Analog Island Festival continues with experimental sets, film screenings, and queer karaoke. Also on Saturday, the Mansion Summer Kickoff Fest goes from 3 to 10 p.m. on the patio with plenty of live bands, barbecue, lawn games, and sunshine. Tickets start at $22.63. And if you're looking for something nostalgic, catch a Beatles tribute show at the Spire from 7 to 9:45 p.m. Tickets are $42.50 and the event fundraises for food and housing programs through Lion's Heart, Inc. And finally on Sunday, start your day off with jazz brunch at the Black Dog Tavern from 11:30 to 2:30 p.m. Or at Time Out Bar and Bistro, folks can see Lady and the Lads perform classic country starting at 3 p.m. Over at Finkelshore Park, Live Music Sundays runs from 2 to 5 p.m. with David Shutter at 2, Barry Ewan and his trio at 3, and Willows and Oaks at 4. At Hotel Wolf Island, Day 3 of the Analog Island Festival runs from 12 to 5:30 p.m. and features jazz, ambient, and experimental performances with Tone Map and Wallace, Potions, and Sandro Perry. And finally, folks can see the Co-Conspirators perform live at the Opinicon from 1 to 4 p.m. with a relaxing set of acoustic folk and roots by the Canal. Have a local concert that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via CFRC.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.